Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, on demand at sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast in iTunes. I'm Brett Amundson. This week, we'll talk to Joe Henry about Lake of the Woods. We'll find out how the ice is up there, and we'll find out about some of the interesting ways that they get around up on the big lake there in northern Minnesota. Also talk to Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, find out what the ice is like on Devil's Lake. We'll go in the truck with Tony Crotty. I know everybody's thinking about ice fishing right now, but there's still some goose hunting and even pheasant hunting to be done. And we did both of those things this week. How did we do? And what do bird numbers look like right now? Well, we'll find out. Sounds like everybody was at the ice show this past weekend, though, in St. Paul, including Jamie Dittman, who joins us now on the radio show. Jamie, did you empty out your bank accounts at the ice show last weekend?
I did not for the first time ever. I made money.
Well, you were stuck working, of course. And I'm going to talk to Joe Henry. I have a feeling that when you work shows like that and you're in a booth, and I've done it 100 times too, it seems like you don't ever get to see any of the show.
Right. You got to run out when you get a break and power shop. And
so
everybody says hi every 5 minutes. You got to stop and chat for a minute. I got to go.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, not only are you trying to shop and trying to work, but then you run into all your old friends, all your industry contacts, and you sit and want to try to talk a little bit. And there's just never enough time to do any of it down there. But wow. Where were you working at the show?
I was at Up North Sports Booth. It's a new online retailer out of Bemidji, and they were big in the snowmobile industry, and now they just got into the ice fishing world. So it's kind of the first time for them, and so I was in there for Striker ice suits.
Okay, and we talked a little bit during the week. It sounds like you sold quite a few of them.
Yes, it was pretty amazing. With the bad ice this year starting and stuff, people that want suits, decide floating is also a good idea. It doesn't cost anymore. We have everything from cheap suits to expensive. So everybody was getting fitted, and a lot of people walked out with suits. It was a very good year.
Yeah, I think I saw a video with, was it Wes Gall with the Outdoor Report was there talking to you about those Striker ice suits and got to learn about those suits a little bit more.
Yeah, and every year the company gets better and they get better fitting, and they take a lot of, customer feedback and on what they want. So I know next year we're talking about a couple more safety features on them, so it'll be even better.
Did you get much of a chance to walk around at all?
I did a little bit, saw a few cool new products out there, of course there's a lot of real fancy fish houses. Duffney Cabinets was there with their wheelhouses, and Duffney's Cabinets is known for reclaimed wood and log stuff in fancy houses in Montana and all over. And they're doing fish houses now, and they have them done in this 1800s reclaimed wood and
really
cabinets nicer than my house. And they have a spear house with wood shutters on the inside with all engraved northern pike in them. And it's they're so beautiful.
I didn't
soft
realize
closed drawers,
Jeez, I didn't know he was building houses now.
Yep, he's running off of Fireban houses and just doing the insides himself.
Okay.
And they are the most beautiful. I mean, the doors are just beautiful. Everything in them is just nice.
He's up by Mille Lacs, right? Outside of Garrison?
Yep, right off of Garrison.
And is that where he's building them? Where would you buy one of these?
Right from him. He's got them there, and they're doing a few when they can, and then they'll do custom orders too. Whatever kind of wood you want, you pick out. He's got 20 different styles of reclaimed wood, and you just pick out what you want.
Where
you want stuff.
I'm friends with Tim on Facebook too, and I saw his post about being there at the show with the Firebrand houses, but I didn't look close enough. I didn't realize what he was doing down there, Jamie.
Yeah, they're pretty neat. And the spear house is kind of new in a wheelhouse too. So they just started doing them because there was nobody really making them. So, and you can go to these lakes out of town. They go to Montana quite a bit and North Dakota, and spear these big pike lakes, and this way you can just sleep right out there.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Jamie Dittman, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about his trip down to the St. Paul Ice Show, working most of the time last weekend at the St. Paul Ice Show, but you had a chance to walk around. What were some of the other things that you saw down there?
There was a couple cool new things. There's a guy from actually Brainerd here that I met that was selling a thing called the Bucket Hoodie. And what it is, it's a bag that goes over the top of your 5-gallon bucket and zips up. It has a handle, and you can put ice rods in it, a locator to hold like 50 pounds by the handle, and grab your bucket and have everything in it instead of trying to snap on a lid in the cold. And it's got more height then too.
So it's just like basically a bag that you put the bucket in?
It goes over the bottom of the bucket, and where the little lip is around the top of the bucket, it holds on right there. It's a tight fit.
Okay.
So it just slides down. You put the bucket over it, slide it up and zip it up, and you got a bag that's, you know, a bucket that's actually a foot taller.
Oh, sure.
You can throw rods in it and stuff. And then firehouse tip up was really cool. It's a little tip up that the line goes right inside of it. You fold it open. It's got little walls on it so that your hole doesn't freeze. And then when a fish bite, there's a strobe light that goes off. Nice. So that was pretty neat.
Take my money.
I got
right
one. Yeah, I gotta have one. They're pretty neat.
Very cool. What else did you buy down there?
That's about it. Some stuff for hunting, some LED headlamps and stuff, but mainly just that stuff.
Sure. Jamie Dittman, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. Is there any new rods or reels or anything like that you saw at the show that stood out?
Didn't see anything that really stood out. I'm not really a fan of the $100, $150 ice fishing rods, so I really don't look at that much. But there's some cool new jigs out. Northland has a jig with like those snap light sticks they use for light of bobbers.
Yeah.
They have a new spoon with one of those in it.
Sure.
That is legal to use. They used to be illegal.
Okay.
But now they're legal now. So they have those out, which are pretty neat.
Is that a Minnesota regulation then?
They were legal like everywhere else, but Minnesota was like the last to get it done.
That seems about right.
The one thing that was making waves was the new Strike Master auger. They came out with a 40-volt lithium ion auger with, on one battery, drills 70 holes or 100 holes in 16 inches of ice, I believe.
Wow.
And it comes with a free battery too. So you literally get, you know, a couple hundred holes on electric, which is awesome.
Does that 16 inches of ice, 70 to 100 holes, whatever it is, does it matter how cold it is then when you're drilling holes?
Not really. Last year, my lithium batteries kind of held all day. I just kept them inside a tackle bag unless I was using them.
Sure.
Didn't leave them lay out on the ice, but it's kind of cool. You don't have to carry gas anymore.
Yeah, right. What's the one item now, Jamie, when you go ice fishing, what's the one item that you can't go without when you're ice fishing?
Locator. You know, you're so spoiled by locators now.
Right.
Yeah, you don't need a locator to catch fish, but you kind of do now. That's one thing you...
Well, I won't fish without one. I won't do it.
It's hard. Another thing that I picked up was kind of cool. So I did buy a few things. There's a little thing out there called a toothpick.
Okay.
And it's a little piece of plastic on a lanyard that retracts, and it's got a little groove in the end. And instead of trying to carry a pliers and get a pliers into a mouth of a small fish like a sunfish, little thing, you slide it right on the hook and just twist it and it pops the hook straight out.
Sure. I've seen those.
I did buy those. Maybe I bought a few of them. Those are nice.
Let's back up to electronics just for one second. Jamie Dittman, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. He guides in the Brainerd Lakes area. He was working the St. Paul Ice Show all weekend last weekend. And you generally run Markham's, right?
Yep.
So you've had a chance, you work with Markham, you've had a chance to kind of try out some of their different products. And I don't mean this to be a big commercial for Markham, but what are some of the different items that are new out there? Because they've got a couple of new things this year that are pretty cool, aren't they?
Yep, we've changed around the screens and stuff on the flasher styles. And then on the LX7, LX6, and LX9, they're just kind of updated every year. But we did come out with one new product that's not specific brand related. Any locator will fit on it. It's a lithium shuttle. So back to the lithium batteries. It's a shuttle that you mount your locator on. It's got a battery gauge, a LED light, a USB plug-in for your cell phone, and you get roughly 40 hours of runtime on a locator.
Okay, I need to get one of those.
So you can run
happen.
Your summer locator. You can pull the Lowrance out of your boat, mount it on this, or you can take your old Vexlar with an old case, mount that on this, and you got a updated unit that'll run for days.
Really?
Yep, and it weighs literally nothing. So you lose, you know, a few pounds off hole hopping.
So like, and I've got like the LX9. It's, you know, it's like a lot of the other Markhams. It comes in a bag basically that you can carry it around. So you pull it out of the bag. This is some sort of plastic case with a handle, or what does it look like?
Yep. So it's a case with a handle and a few attachments on it. It's got a rod holder on it. It's got quarter inch threads, so you can mount your AquaView right on there too, right above your locator or your cell phone mount, and plug it into the USB, listen to music.
Nice.
It's also made, it comes shipped in a 5 gallon bucket because it fits in a 5 gallon bucket now.
Oh, perfect.
Where your old locator wouldn't.
Sure. I'll tell
you
what,
kind of a slick deal.
That USB plug-in for your phone, that is a million-dollar addition, because I got an iPhone, which I love iPhones, but my battery is terrible. I've had it for 2 years now. The battery is junk, but it's not like you can replace batteries on them, and the rest of the phone works great. I need to constantly have my phone plugged in, and especially when it gets cold. You know what happens to those phones when it gets cold? The batteries shut down immediately. So, man, being able to plug in right into one unit there with a lithium battery, that's great.
Yeah, and especially if you like listening to music.
I do.
Yep.
I do, especially if...
So, that's kind of the cool new thing that... And I've seen a lot of them walking out the door, and it's kind of a nice product, too, that you can just take your old locator and redo it.
And I really like listening to music when I'm fishing with you, so I don't have to listen to you talk.
Exactly. That, and I'm so busy catching, you have to do something while you're...
It's true. Yeah. Jamie Dimon, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio, back off the St. Paul Ice Show last weekend and back up into Brainerd. And I'll tell you what, Jamie, I was driving back from, I was in Fargo on Tuesday. I guess I drove back home to Western Minnesota on Tuesday from Fargo, and it was 11 degrees when I jumped in my truck. And as I was driving down 94, I noticed a lot of the ponds and even small lakes and sloughs were almost completely frozen over again after they'd opened back up. So what kind of ice conditions are you seeing in the Brainerd area now?
We're starting to see some of the smaller lakes with, you know, 6 to 8 inches. The bigger lakes, you know, since we've got that deep freeze, the 30-mile-an-hour winds have not stopped yet. So a lot of the big lakes are still busted open.
Sure.
But we're starting to, the back spots are starting to get good. And with this weather all week, this weekend we'll start to get out on some smaller lakes. And, you know, next week is just going to get better.
Okay. So you do see some guys that are actually starting to fish on some, I don't want to call it safe ice, but ice that is safer than it has been.
Basically, the ones that didn't get busted open in that warm spell are getting good.
Okay, sure.
But even a lot of the smaller lakes did get busted open in that warm spell, and the winds have just been crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it's been ridiculous. What would you say? Would you say we're still in early ice time then, or is this, are we kind of getting into more middle? It's still early.
Yeah, still early. I did hear today from a few people that some of the resorts on the east shore of Red Lake were letting out single axle wheelhouses with ATVs.
Oh, really?
Heard of, like, I had some friends go there last Friday, and they did really well, and they were finding 10 to 14 inches of ice over on the east side. Now, the rest of the lakes are still a lot of sketchy spots, but over there they're doing well, and there was a few wheelhouses out there, so that didn't get affected as bad as the other parts of the lake. Mm.
Well, I still have some pheasant hunting to do, and you know, we still have thousands and thousands of geese around here at Lac Parle right now. So I got some more goose hunting to do. But I think, Jamie, I do think I am going to break out my ice fishing stuff this week. Just, I've been putting it off. All my friends, I see all these Snapchats from all my friends. They're getting their electronics charged up, and they're getting their houses out and getting all their tackle. They're buying all this tackle. And I haven't brought myself to do it yet.
I'm still, I'll be ready, but the muzzleloader is sitting right here.
You still got some deer hunting to do?
I still got, you know, a week of deer hunting here. So now that I drove all over Minnesota to find muzzleloader powder.
Oh. Where did you have to go?
Well, we lost our Gander Mountain and Mills Gun Shop here in Brainerd. So nobody in Brainerd had muzzleloader powder like 2 days after opener.
Mills Gun Shop isn't there either anymore?
No, Bill's bought Mills.
Okay.
They don't have that.
I knew Gander was closing. Fleet Farm didn't have it, though.
Fleet Farm didn't have it. Nobody had it. None of the bow shops around.
Okay.
So I stopped in one major retailer on the way back from the cities, and they didn't have it.
Huh.
So thank God for Shield Sports. They had like 10 kinds. I was so happy. I have to say that. I was so happy they had everything in stock. You know, even this year, muzzleloader hunting, scopes were legal now.
Sure.
Yep. And nobody had scope mounts. Everybody was out, and Shield still had them yesterday.
Hmm. And Shield's in St. Cloud?
Yep. Okay. So I told them there, thank you, thank you.
Sure, sure. Jamie Dimon, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio, getting ready to do some fishing and do some guided ice fishing this winter. Jamie, if people wanted to get in a portable with you, how do they do that?
You can just look us up on Facebook, give me a holler, or call my phone number, which is on there, or call S&W Bait, and they'll get you hooked up with me.
Do you have any, what's your tips for early ice fishing? What's your go-to this time of year if you want to get out and try to catch, say, walleyes?
This year, walleyes, I'm usually on the shallow, weed breaks, shiners. You know, I tend to always wait too long for the early ice walleyes because I love going out and catching crappies. So
yeah, I was just going to say, where I'll be. Crappie, it seems, that's kind of the way I am too. I mean, crappies are just, seems like they're just easier to get them. And so for crappies, what's your go-to?
You know, 20 feet, just find the suspended fish. And that's normally, we just scout around the holes and right around the edge of the holes and small tackle. And, you know, right now, early ice, just be safe. Check your ice all the way out.
Sure. Do you use artificial for crappies or minnow heads or what?
I do use a lot of, like, you know, the Northland Impulse stuff. And, you know, I do find a lot of times you don't need minnows, but I always have crappie minnows with me because you never know.
For sure. All right, man. Well, good luck. I hope to do some fishing with you next week. Hopefully we'll see how things go. But Jamie Dimon, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Sounds good. See you later.
Joe Henry will talk about his experience at the St. Paul Ice Show coming up and give us an update from Lake of the Woods. What are the ice conditions like up there? We'll go in the truck with Tony Crotty for a migration waterfowl report. And we'll find out about Devil's Lake from Lucas Mertens next on Sporting Journal Radio. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. All right, we are back, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Red Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com, or podcastable and subscribable in iTunes. Now we're going to head up to Devil's Lake to find out what's going on that legendary walleye fishery and perch fishery with Lucas Mertens from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Lucas, how are things?
Things are good. Things are good. They could be a little bit colder, but we're just patiently waiting.
Right. Well, at least we're not seeing the warm temps that we had there for a little bit. Things got to be starting to freeze back up a little bit.
Yeah, the lake is starting to tighten back up again. There's still a little bit of open water here and there, and there's a lot of really unsafe ice right now. So we're just waiting for it to get super cold so we can get going.
Sure. Sure. I know we had that cold snap and everybody got excited about ice fishing. And then everything warmed up and some water opened back up. And now that it's been cold again, I know people are chomping at the bit to get back out there. So you guys are probably just still in the preparations for the season up there.
Yep. We're just checking our gear over. We got all the snow bears in the shop, just kind of fine tuning them, making sure that everything is ready to go. You know, the wish list as far as fishing gear goes, that never ends. So trying out a lot of new things that we've seen at the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show, and just answering a lot of phone calls, a lot of people calling, wondering, you know, is the ice safe yet? Can we go? And I guess for the most part, I've just been telling people that the ice is not really safe yet and just to hold off for a little while.
Yeah, probably good advice. You always want to make sure that you wait long enough for good ice to get out there. It's not worth it to catch some fish, but I know we're all anxious to go. And you made it down to the St. Paul Ice Show. What did you see anything down there that got you excited about this year?
Well, there's a lot of game-changing stuff coming, that's for sure, and a lot of nice, lures, tackle, all that stuff. I mean, the wish list would never end.
Yeah, no, we went and started stocking up today. Went to the store and I decided to limit myself. I knew going in I was going to limit myself because I was like, well, I could get a couple of those. We'll take a couple of those. Let's just hold off for now. I haven't even gotten excited about it yet, so I haven't taken inventory on what I got. I haven't dug my stuff out yet, so I'm not even quite sure what I still have in my tackle box.
It's amazing what you forget what you bought last year. And then yeah. When you start taking it all back out, it's kind of like opening Christmas gifts again. It's like, wow, I forgot I had that. So it's always a fun time of the year.
Well, I know Devil's Lake is a destination that's always on everybody's minds every winter. And you're gearing up. Snow bears, of course, are what you guys like to do there. Will you start out in portables maybe, or something smaller with the side by sides, or when do you get the snow bears out?
Well, typically it's right after Christmas. I mean, we've been out before Christmas, but as a general rule, it's right around Christmas time we'll get going in the snow bears, and we've had quite a few early bookings this year because of that that early cold snap that we got. I think we're going to have to postpone a few groups here and there, but I'm hoping that we can maybe skip over the side-by-side stuff and we can just go right into the snow bears after Christmas.
Sure. Well, that was the way to go. That was a lot of fun when we were up there, and I'd never fished out of a snow bear before, and being able to go wherever we wanted. It was so cold, and there was a fair amount of snow out there too, so it was a lot of snow, really cold temperatures, and we were fishing in t-shirts and sweatshirts and going wherever we wanted. So that was a pretty slick deal, Lucas.
Yeah, I always like to say, Mother Nature has a way of averaging things out. So I have a feeling that once this kind of warm snap comes through, we're going to be in the dead of winter, and that's where those snow bears are going to shine. We can move a lot of times. We can be comfortable moving. We're just comfortable all day. So I know a lot of people showed interest in that type of fishing at the show. And I think it's just going to get busier and busier as we go.
If people want to book a trip and fish out of one of your snow bears or stay at the campground and resort there, how do they get a hold of you, Lucas?
Well, they can call me direct, 701-351-3130. They can go on our Facebook page. I've been posting some pictures on there right now, kind of what's going to happen and what's going on. Or they can check our website out, www.ABLHeights.com.
All right, Lucas, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, on demand at sportingjournalradio.com and subscribable in iTunes. This past weekend, if you were into ice fishing in this region, you may have made your way down to St. Paul for the St. Paul Ice Show. I know a lot of people that were down there, and we, of course, were talking to Jamie Dittman about it, and we're going to talk to Joe Henry about it as well from Lake of the Woods, and also find out a little bit more about what's going on up there at the lake. Joe, how are things?
Yeah, things are excellent. Thanks, Brett.
So I was in Fargo last week, and what day was it? Tuesday morning after that snowstorm, I woke up and went out to my truck, and it was 11 degrees out there. I got to imagine we're making ice again.
Yeah, we need it. And, we are making ice. And, we had a huge ice cube floating around Lake of the Woods. I mean, the majority of the lake has been ice covered. And, you know, with all the wind we've had, it's pushed that thing around and it's pushed some ice up and it'll basically caused some open water over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, now that we're getting this really cold weather again, it's going to get her locked up, and it's exactly what we need. You know, we're not out ice fishing on that lake yet, but I can tell you that some of our resorts are doing some fishing and different things on some of the back bays where they've marked the ice and they're keeping people safe on the back bays. And I can tell you right now, we have ice guides checking out the ice on the lake and doing some different things to make sure that it's coming along and make sure that people are going to be safe. And that's where they mark those trails. I mean, they check the ice, they mark the trails. They sometimes flood the trail. Sometimes they flood the Pine Island that you have to cross over. They put water on that to make it hard so you don't sink into the land. I mean, there's been efforts going on, and there's efforts going on as we speak to make sure that we get some good ice trails going out. And I got to say that they're not going to let people out until it's ready to roll.
Yeah, safe ice is more important than catching fish, of course, and there's plenty of time to ice fish. Everybody keeps telling me, "Oh gosh, are you ready? Are you ready to go ice fishing?" And I was like, "You know, there's plenty of time to do some ice fishing." And I will say though, I know last week when I was driving around, there's a lot of open water, and then when I drove back home from Fargo on Tuesday last week, I watched a lot of the smaller bodies lock back up, and if there was any open water, it was real small. And you know, we obviously don't have a whole lot of snow out there, so if we can make some pretty good ice this week and kind of hold off on the snow a little bit, we could really get some good ice out there.
We'll be in good shape. Yeah, you know, when ice is first forming, if it gets real real cold, you can make 4 to 6 inches in a couple of days. And you know, we're actually optimistic, and some of that open water was along the south shore where we go out of. And you know, talking to some of the ice guides at the sports show, they were actually optimistic because they're hoping that ice forms nice and smooth and, you know, it could actually be really good.
Talking to Joe Henry here on Sporting Journal Radio about Lake of the Woods. And, you know, one of the things that I always found interesting about Lake of the Woods is just the way that they get out there. And, you know, seeing some of those old bombers, and I will give props to the resorts up there that use the old bombardiers, because finding parts and keeping some of those old guys running is a task in itself, not just using them to haul people out. But it's pretty neat riding out one of those old bombers.
It really is. And, you know, it's funny because with a bombardier, you almost have to have two bombers to equal one because you can't get parts anywhere.
Right.
So, and they're hard to find, but you know, it's funny, those bombers, you know, they were initially built back in Valcourt, Quebec, back in, a long time ago. And actually they were used as snow buses for the land. And what happened was eventually the area said, "Hey, we're going to start plowing roads." And when they started plowing roads, the need for that snow bus, as they called it, the bombardier, really, you know, the demand dropped, and consequently, they kind of quit making them. But boy, you know, at Lake of the Woods, talking to the resorters that use them, you know, yes, it's kind of old technology, but they just work. And one of the reasons they do is because those long tracks and those long skis, they just cover, they distribute the weight.
And tracks, I think, are kind of the key, because you see, now you see conversion vans and Suburbans and all kinds of other vehicles on tracks up there as well. And I always tell that story about seeing a Suburban on tracks for the first time, and it just blew my mind because I'd never seen anything like that before.
It's interesting. And, you know, The things are done many different ways up there. And a lot of it has to do with what works, what doesn't work, what's easy to maintain, what's the best return on investment. You know, some of the track kits you see that go on some of the vehicles, you know, they're very nice for some. In some cases, they're not always the most efficient because they're a small footprint. And when you go over a crack, you know, oftentimes they can fall into that crack and break off and things like that. So that's where those longer tracks and those skis come in very, very handy. I can tell you that we have one resort that creates their own track rig. It's, in this case, it's Arneson's. And, you know, oftentimes what they'll do, Brett, is they'll take a brand new 15-passenger van. First thing they do is take a cutting torch and cut it off right behind the front seats. And they pull that shell off and they build their own back end with flotation, stairs, more room. I mean, that's just one example. Some of the other resorts, you know, we have these light ice rigs, a lot of times they're Geo Trackers or Suzuki Samurais that are very, very lightweight, inexpensive, vehicle. And they will pull a people hauler trailer. You know, a people hauler trailer really is like a light ice rig. It's a trailer specially designed to haul ice anglers out. So it's a trailer with a heater in it. And now they've made them so that some have wheels, some have skis, but they actually have suspension in them, but they put extra suspension in to make sure that ride out to the fish houses is the most comfortable. So, I mean, these resorts really have been innovative based on, you know, what works, what doesn't break, what's easy to fix, and also keeping people comfortable.
Those trackers and Samurais, I didn't realize just how much value those things still had. And, yeah. You know, you can't really find them. They're in demand. The used ones go for a lot of money. It's amazing.
Well, you know, my understanding is that they're not a real high cost item, and, you know, they're easy to fix. It's not some foreign technology or anything. And, you know, parts, you can get parts for them pretty easily because they're domestic made automobile, and they just seem to work.
Well, it's like a cheap side-by-side, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yep.
Joe Henry, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. Just a couple of minutes left. Want to talk a little bit about the St. Paul Ice Show that took place last weekend down in the Twin Cities. Overall, Joe, I heard it was pretty busy down there.
Oh, man. You know, that St. Paul Ice Fishing Show is a great deal. You know what's really kind of neat is, well, first off, it was crowded. You know, it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they got something new. They call VIP hours. And what they'll do is the first couple hours of the show, if you want to pay $6 extra over the general admission price, you can come 2 hours early and it's not nearly as crowded. That was kind of interesting. You know, the number of people, Brad, I spoke to people that came from Manitoba, from way over in the eastern part of Wisconsin. I mean, people came from a long ways away to come to this show, and it was just amazing. And I mean, the number of people carrying out ice augers, vexillars, fish houses, tackle, fishing rods. I mean, people were buying stuff. It was a heck of a neat, exciting atmosphere, I'll tell you.
Well, it's good to see, because I know some of those shows have been, since the advent of the internet and websites and digital shopping, online shopping, some of those shows had taken a hit. So it's kind of, those shows are fun. It's fun to get around people with the same interests and see some of the new products and touch them and feel them and see them in action, see them in person. So I'm glad to hear that there were a lot of people there.
Yeah, it was good. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing about going to a show, one thing that can't be replaced by the internet. And don't get me wrong, you know, Lake of the Woods Tourism, we have a very, very strong digital presence. But, you know, one thing that it's hard to do is you can't really interact with a personality, you know, to talk with somebody, to ask them questions. You know, for instance, people come up to us and we have 60 different lodging options up at Lake of the Woods between sleeper fish houses, hotels and resorts. And, you know, Lake of the Woods Tourism represents them all. However, I feel like it's our duty that, you know, when we talk to somebody one-on-one and we ask them, what kind of group do you have? You know, what kind of things do you want to do? Are you bringing your own equipment? Do you need full service? Do you want to make your own meals? Do you want to use the, you know, resort restaurant and bar? How important do you want to go fancy? Do you want to go, you know, very, very conservative and just get a clean place that's well-priced? I mean, there's so many options. Do you want to stay in the Rainy River? Do you want to stay in the South Shore? Do you want to stay at the Northwest Angle? And, you know, by kind of narrowing it down, we can offer a variety of choices, but at least narrow it down so there's not 60 that are so overwhelming. And it really is helpful to be able to talk to people this way. And I can tell you too that it's also very neat for people to be able to talk to some of the ice fishing pros who maybe they see on TV or read about in magazines and actually have a chance to interact with these people and ask specific questions. It's special.
Just about 30 seconds left here with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods and Sporting Journal Radio. Joe, you probably didn't get much time to walk around the show, but is there any, was there one product out there that really surprised you? Some new product that you thought, wow, this is going to be interesting to try out?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you're right. I didn't have a chance to walk around the show. I was stuck to my booth, but, you know, I noticed there's a few new lures out there. You know, I know Northland has a new jig and spoon that has a little light stick in it that has different colors. And I know for Lake of the Woods and that stained water, kind of excited to use that glow red. I've heard people at Test Market did well. I know that Acme had a slow gliding bait, almost like a jig and wrap that they just put out. And, you know, certainly there's a lot of rods and reels out there, new fishing line. Some of the new augers, electric augers. I know Strikemaster had a great auger out there. Clam has a bunch of innovative fish houses they come out with different types of materials, quicker setups, some new ice fishing suits. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah. Nothing that really caught my eye that was like, okay, this is different. Hmm. But a lot of things that, you know, are making ice fishing easier.
Sure. Very good. All right, Joe Henry, if people want to come up and book a trip to Lake of the Woods this year, where do they go?
Check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Com.
We'll go in the truck with Tony Crotty next to find out if there's still geese around for you to hunt. He's next on Sporting Journal Radio.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit HayBaleHeights.com. That's HayBaleHeights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, we are in the truck here with Tony Crotty from Mid-Migration Outfitters on Sporting Journal Radio. It's Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, on demand at sportingjournalradio.com, and also subscribable and podcastable in iTunes. For a change, we're in my truck, Tony. That doesn't really happen too often.
No, not really, but we're... We're out chasing pheasants, so that's kind of your gig, so it makes sense.
My truck's a little bit quieter.
Yeah, stock exhaust on it.
Well, one thing we can talk about when you're a waterfowl hunter, driving through some of these fields, especially here in western Minnesota late in the season, they get a little rough out there. Sometimes you spend more time working on your truck than you do driving your truck.
Yeah, you know, things are going to break, and that's just kind of the way that it is when you're beating on equipment. Stuff's going to break, and yeah, we've had a few mishaps with vehicles breaking and stuff breaking when we're out in the field this year.
We are we just got done doing some pheasant hunting. Of course, the Canada goose season is still open here in Minnesota. Ducks. Good down there. All right. Ducks are closed up for us. We're still seeing some mallards here in the Lac Parle Refuge, though.
Yeah, there's a few mallards buzzing around yet. I don't think we have the numbers that we did, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, but we definitely still have some ducks around and plenty of geese.
Yeah, lots of geese. I don't know. Have you heard any counts recently? Because people have been asking me how many geese we have out here. And, I'm sure we lost some, but we still seem to be gaining some geese out here.
Yeah, I haven't heard any counts officially lately. Last one I heard was 20,000, but that was almost about a month ago. And yeah, we're losing birds. And you know, yesterday when we were out hunting, we seen migrators coming into the lake. So it's kind of a constant cycle of birds going out, birds coming in.
We're hearing reports from the Fergus Falls area that I drove through there the other day driving back from Fargo. They're loaded with geese up there too.
Yeah, they got reports of big numbers up there. So usually them birds have one more stopping point in Minnesota, and that's usually us. So hopefully we'll have enough birds to last us through the end of the season.
We had a nice storm on, what day was that? Monday, is that when we had the snowstorm out here? And the goose hunting out here changes a little bit when it starts snowing like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's usually for the better. The birds, you know, the end of the season, they get kind of stale. And this year it was so warm, and they just didn't have any, you know, reason to have a pattern. And what the weather does is it pushes them into a pattern, makes them a little easier to kill.
We're in the truck with Tony Crotty here from Mid-Migration Outfitters on Sporting Journal Radio. This is my favorite time to, it's fun to waterfowl hunt this late season when you can find Canada geese this late season, or if ducks are still open, it's fun to shoot mallards in the field. But it's really some of my favorite times to go pheasant hunting. And you kind of got a glimpse of it today, Tony, walking through. I mean, it was a little cold. It was a little windy. I think the feels like was 2 degrees or something like that. And the birds were a lot wilder than I expected them to be today.
Yeah, well, you know, we were walking through some refuge land, so, you know, it could have been walk previous to, you know, us going through it. But, you know, if we flushed as many, for how many hens that we flushed, if we would have flushed roosters, we would have been on the board and done real quick. So, but that's just how it goes. It's still a lot of fun.
kind of interesting out here. The refuge opens up on December 1st, and you can walk some of that ground that that is off limits prior to that. And we did, I mean, there's been reports of low numbers. I hunted last weekend down by Hendricks, and we saw a fair number of birds. We didn't shoot a whole lot of roosters, and down there was the same thing. We saw a lot of brown ones, and we saw a lot of brown ones when we walked around here today, too. So it's encouraging that you're seeing some numbers and seeing some hens. But, man, where the heck are all the roosters?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I guess we did see a few of them, but we didn't really get many, you know, shots at them. They were a little ways out, flushing a little wild. But there's a few around. I just think, you know, cat and mouse, and they won.
I'll tell you what, Tony. Waterfowling is tough. It can be grueling. It's long hours. It's early in the day. It's setting a lot of decoys. Sometimes it's digging holes. And, you know, it's not for the faint-hearted a lot of times. And a lot of people say, well, that's why I like pheasant hunting. It's easy. You get to sleep in. You walk through the grass a little bit. Your dog, you know, does all the work for you. On a day like today, it wasn't easy out there.
No, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it definitely wasn't. No, it wasn't a walk in the park. You know, we walk kind of all different types of terrain, you know, standing corn, grass, trees, hills, you name it. We were kind of through it all, and I'm wore out.
Well, that's what you got to look for this time of year. Late season, when it's cold like this and the wind is blowing, you almost have to look for the heaviest cover. And we found them in willow stands. We found them in cattails. But where we found the most amount of birds was on the side of a hill in some of the thickest, like, hardwoods that's on this property. And it's hard to hunt that stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's not a place that you'd expect to find them, but when you look around and you look at how open everything is and with the standing corn and, you know, all the plots that they put up, the refuges put up, it kind of makes sense because that's a pretty easy oasis for them to go to, and that's where they all were, and, you know, we kicked a few out and you got a shot at one, I guess, but... no birds.
Yeah, it was kind of a desperation attempt. It was pretty funny because we were coming up the hill, walking through these trees, and the dogs got real birdie. And all of a sudden, I saw my dog Mika take off through the woods, and I could see pheasants running on the ground in front of her. And all of a sudden, I heard that caw, 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 heard the rooster start cackling, and he flew straight up and landed on a branch straight above it. And there's my dog at the bottom of this tree barking. He treed this rooster. I'd never seen anything like it before. And before I could get into an area where there was a clear enough shot, he had flown away. So I did take one desperate poke at it, but it's fun. This is my gym. This is where I get my exercise this time of the year. We're in the truck with Tony Crotty from Mid-Migration Outfitters here on Sporting Journal Radio. And, you know, we're winding down the waterfowl season here for the fall, but I'm looking, there's still a lot of geese around. We're watching geese winging around all day long out here right now. But we're starting to gear up for spring. We're not that far away from the spring snow goose season, Tony.
No, really not. About a month and a half will be about that time when we're getting ready to get on the road. And, you know, bookings are coming in. We're starting to get stuff lined up, and I'm pretty excited about it. You know, it'll be here before we know it. We got Christmas, and then we got a trip down south for fun to do a little hunting, and then we'll be snow goose hunting in Missouri. So before long, we'll be chasing around.
Yeah, so we're looking for people that want to come hunt in Missouri. Beginning of February, we're going to head down there, and then we'll move up into South Dakota in March. And this year, bigger crew, bigger decoys, and going into some new territory. I'm pretty excited about Missouri.
Yeah, me too. You know, it's something that we've always kind of wanted to do. You know, with Nebraska kind of changing their licensing and stuff like that, it just makes sense now. A little less expensive to hunt Missouri, and it's in a better flight path for a lot of the birds that are coming out of Arkansas. And so it should be a lot of fun. Yeah, we got a big crew this year going, and a lot of changes happening, but changes for the better, and it should be a good spring.
Spring snow goose hunting, for those of you, I know we've talked about it a lot here on this show, but Tony, tell our listeners, if there's someone out there that's going, gosh, why do they, I don't understand why they do that. They go set out, you know, 2,000 decoys, and they sit out there all day, and, you know, just to shoot the sky carp or, you know, whatever, which is what a lot of people call them. Why, tell our listeners why you like to do it so much.
Oh boy, that's a hard question, really. It's just one of them things. You do it a couple of times, it kind of gets in your blood. You know, not only are we out there shooting snow geese to, you know, try and help save the tundra, but other than that, it's just something that you'll never see anything like it in the spring. You know, you can hunt in the fall, you can hunt anywhere you want. and you will see it in the fall sometimes too, but in the springtime they just, there's that drive in them to go north, and when they're migrating and you get ducks and specklebellies and Canada geese and all of that at the same time, it's just something that it's so hard to explain. You just got to come out and witness it for yourself.
Yeah, and before I'd ever hunted that spring snow goose season, the spring conservation order, I'd always wanted to just see the spring migration. I'd heard about the migration. It was one of those things that I just had to go see it. And I remember when I moved to North Dakota, and during that spring time when the migration was happening, I just jumped in my truck and drove and tried to get underneath birds. And I tried to count the amount of snow geese that I saw fly over me, and it was a big migrator day. And these huge, you could look the entire horizon, you know, and in North Dakota, you can see a long ways on the horizon. And from east to west, all I could see were strings of snow geese flying north. And I was doing my best to count, and I lost track at like 500,000, you know, who knows where I actually was or not. But that's, in my mind, I was seeing a 500,000. I sat there for like 2 hours just watching strings of geese over. And realistically, it's entirely possible to see a 500,000 geese on a big migrating day like that.
Oh, absolutely. It's so hard to judge how many birds are flying or in the air, but there's days where you know the game and fish, they'll do estimates where they think, you know, 1 million or 2 million birds move through an area in a day. And yeah, a lot of times too, if you look at the, you know, the real big stopping points, stuff like that, Mound City and things like that, and Sand Lake in North Dakota, or the border in South Dakota, North Dakota area, Tewak and things like that, you get them huge masses, and it's just unbelievable to even imagine that there's that many birds in one given area. So it's pretty cool.
And I was just north of Sand Lake that day too, and watching birds pile over. And you know, I was just excited, you know, so I was probably, who knows how many geese I actually saw, but just witnessing, and that's not, I mean, it's not like you're going to go out there and see a 500,000 birds when you go spring snow goose hunting, but you're going to see a big push of the migration, whether it's a lot of snows, or you're going to see a lot of Canadas, and like you said, a lot of ducks. My favorite maybe, Tony, is when widgeon come buzzing over the blinds when you're laying in a snow goose spread.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's something different seeing widgeons winging over and countless amount of pintails and things like that. It kind of spoils you a little bit for the fall, because you kind of come out in the fall expecting to have all these ducks decoy so well, and it's a whole different game then. But it's you know, when it comes to doing a little bird watching, or even, you know, taking the camera out, stuff like that, it's just an absolute blast. And then getting to shoot snows on top of it's just a bonus.
We're in the truck with Tony Crotty from Mid-Migration Outfitters here on Sporting Journal Radio. Gearing up for the spring snow goose season, which is going to happen beginning of February. We're not that far away. Tony, if people want to book a spring snow goose hunt, what do they need to do?
They can just get a hold of me, or go to the website and shoot me an email, or Facebook is another way to contact us, and we'll get you set up.
MidMigrationOutfitters.com. Tony, thank you very much.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit SportingJournalRadio.com.